one of the things that the COVID rollout has done is to create a whole new category of forbidden speech, okay? That if you raise questions about masking, you raise questions about vaccines, you even question the origins of the pandemic, you raise any questions at all, you're putting people at risk, okay? If you're not completely credulous, and if you don't soak up everything Dr. Fauci says, then you're somehow putting people at risk. You want people to die.
99.5% of those infections are people who haven't gotten vaccinated. I mean, come on. Anybody who disputes that sort of stuff is putting people's lives at risk and potentially killing them.
So that's kind of a new, an emergency period proscription on a whole huge category of speech. It's actually more urgent than ever before that we be allowed to hear the other side of the story. People should hear that masking does no good and is actually making you sicker, et cetera, right? We can't listen to any of that. If you bring that up, you're putting people at risk, okay. Secondly, the George Floyd moment and the rise of BLM and along with it Antifa and on the other side, the Proud Boys, right? This is, first of all, exquisitely divisive, which is something that comes straight out of the imperial playbook. As it is, masking was a new way to divide the population so that maskers and anti-maskers are on opposite sides, right? And that kind of matches the blue-red, split.
I'm not afraid. The good Lord takes care of me. If I die, I die. We gotta get this country moving. Can't we? What are you gonna do? Wear masks and stay inside for another year? Huh?
Okay.
I believe that one of the primary purposes of the COVID rollout and the lockdowns was to largely demolish independently owned businesses all over the country and the world. And it was very successful at doing that.
The Wall Street Journal said 40% of black-owned businesses were just gone, April of 2020.
Then there was the George Floyd moment, you know, the George Floyd incident. After, you know, the infamous video of Derek Chauvin with his knee on George Floyd's neck, there was an explosion of protests, not just nationwide, but all over the world. And while there's no doubt that many of the people protesting were sincere, I think that what we witnessed here in the city and what people in other cities witnessed was a kind of controlled demolition of still more businesses. You and I each saw with our own eyes the police actually standing down in the face of really violent vandalism, arson, things like that. We've seen these anomalous piles of bricks placed near, you know, where protests were supposed to take place.
Bricks. Shit crazy. Some random ass bricks, bro. Ain't no construction. Just some random ass bricks in here.
There's another pile of these random ass bricks. That's what they did in Dallas. They set that shit up. It's like an invitation.
This right here?
Yeah. They put them in
the setup.
So we have this pattern of protests, you know, followed by a kind of mopping up that's extremely violent and destructive and that guts all these other stores and small businesses, right? So in a way, it's like a further body blow to the independent economy. And this introduces into the narrative a kind of woke militancy that has actually, I think, served to be part of the whole COVID narrative. When you've got Jamie Dimon and Mitt Romney and Jeff Bezos and Bill and Melinda Gates, right? And the Chase Manhattan Bank, and Goldman Sachs and Amazon all saying Black Lives Matter. You got Nancy Pelosi, what is she worth, $120 million, taking a knee in the House of Representatives lobby, you know, with a kente cloth on. I mean, seriously, these people are the biggest predators out there, and they're all telling us that Black Lives Matter. I mean, this really does get me exercised. I mean, if you follow the stories of what it's like to be working in the Amazon warehouses under speed-up conditions, right? Where these people are calling 911, you know, on a daily basis to report that yet another fellow worker has collapsed. You got workers wearing diapers, okay, because they can't take bathroom breaks, all right? A lot of those workers are black. Don't their lives matter?
If I had the opportunity to talk to Jeff Bezos face-to-face, I would really want to ask him, have he ever worked in a warehouse before? Have he sweated for 10 to 12 hours a day and not being able to go to the restroom when he needed to go?
In the issue of working conditions, I'm very proud of our working conditions.
They got cameras, they watching us all the time.
It's a lot of walking, it's a lot of fast pace, it's a lot of climbing upstairs, it's just a lot for the human body.
They're getting treated like robots, and it's not fair because even robots break down sometimes.
Command engine start. Two.
I want to thank every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer because you guys paid for all of this.
Go, Jeff, go, Mark, go, Molly, go, Oliver. You are going to space.
I mean, is it enough for Bezos to say Black Lives Matter? Is it enough for him to put up a banner on, you know, Amazon Prime? BLM is a brand, okay? It is a very, very lavishly funded brand. You know, they'll paint the letters on a street in Washington. They got $100 million from the Ford Foundation, right? They're getting that kind of funding, right? Again, that's CIA money.
I can't breathe! I can't breathe! I can't breathe! I can't breathe!
All right, so let's talk about the third act in this grotesque theatrical, right, starting in January 2020, and in a sense concluding on January 6th of this year. Now, let me preface this by noting that the equation of Donald Trump with Adolf Hitler actually began before the 2016 election. There's a lot of people out there who actually think that those two historical figures are very similar, and that's based on knowing absolutely nothing about either Hitler or Trump, okay? Michiko Kakutani, the veteran book reviewer of the New York Times, was actually trotted out to do this big review of a new biography of Hitler, and the whole review was this elaborate comparison of Trump with Hitler, right? Which tells me, the New York Times being as it is intelligence connected, you know, tells me that this was a narrative that they wanted to have in people's minds. And it could even relate to what I still regard as the surprise election of Donald Trump, because it fed the assumption that he had sort of taken over the country illegitimately. I am in no way a Trump apologist or champion. I have no use for him at all, right? I think that he and I were equally surprised by his victory. That's my own reading, because, you know, some pretty compelling forensic evidence is out there that the three swing states that he miraculously won, you know, late in the night, this is how it always goes down. You know, there's a lot that's really wrong with those numbers. There's a lot that's suspicious about all that. And the fact that Team Trump didn't even have an acceptance speech written because their own polling clearly told them that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And that was my reading of the polls.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Complicated business. Complicated.
You and I have a mild disagreement. I think that part of the pro-wrestling nature of Trump was to act surprised that he, you know, got the election. I mean, I think there's a plan that unfolded for Trump to be president. I mean, I like to do this thought experiment. Let me throw it at you. Imagine if Trump had been the one to say,
you must have a mask.
You got to close down your businesses. No school, no church, no small business economy. You know what? Everyone's going to have to be taking a shot pretty soon. And this is the way it is. People would have rightly said, this is fascism. But because Trump said it, I mean, he was so perfectly positioned earlier as, you know, this opponent of rationality or this, you know, this bigot or this, you know, this anti-science persona, whether he got there by accident or not, he's definitely served a major purpose, which was to weaponize the truth in a way against people who might want to employ it.
People think that goes away in April with the heat, as the heat comes in. Typically, that will go away in April. We're in great shape there.
The Democrats are politicizing the coronavirus. You know that. Coronavirus. And this is their new hoax.
Healthy people, if you're healthy, you will probably go through a process and you'll be fine.
President, is it safe or appropriate to be holding rallies during a public health crisis like this?
I think it's very safe, yeah. I think it's very safe.
The global death rate at 3.4%.
Well, I think the 3.4% is really a false number. Now, this is just my hunch. Personally, I would say the number is way under 1%.
Everybody has to be calm. It's all going to work out. I mean, most people are getting better. Most, by far, the people, you get better. With or without a vaccine, it's going to pass. Stop testing right now. Would have very few cases, if any.
One thing that's for certain, don't let it dominate you. Don't be afraid of it.
So this had tremendous consequences. But of course, he was also the person who spearheaded Operation Warp Speed, which is giving us the dubious vaccine.
Today, I want to update you on the next stage of this momentous medical initiative. It's called Operation Warp Speed. That means big and it means fast. A massive scientific, industrial, and logistical endeavor, unlike anything our country has seen since the Manhattan Project. You really could say that nobody's seen anything like we're doing, whether it's ventilators or testing. Nobody's seen anything like we're doing now within our country since the Second World War.
Donald Trump has served as a central polarizing figure in a spectacle of politics that is like nothing so much as a pro wrestling match, you know? I mean, Trump is the pro wrestling president. That's actually a fact, in as much as he, you know, appointed Linda McMahon to head the Small Business Administration, and he has himself participated in, you know, pro wrestling smackdowns.
Indeed, yes. The Donald is here live on Monday Night Raw. He's still here. And Mr. Trump, not coming along.
There's something about the guy as a reality TV star that suggests he's playing a part. He's playing the part of the swaggering, conceited, you know, wrestler who enjoys provoking the audience to ever wilder boos and catcalls, you know, and he plays dirty tricks on the good guy, the opposition. And that this reminds me of that moment in the debates with Hillary when he stood behind her looking like a stalker, you know.
So at some of parts of watching last night, I was like, I was really getting nervous because she was in his space. He's like a dog who's starting to get anxious. He's being backed in a corner. So I had a little anxiety during these moments.
Fascinating. Let's talk about the handshake.
He relishes that kind of provocation in a way that really does recall pro wrestling. And just as pro wrestling is fixed, you know, it's a kind of orchestrated sports spectacle that sticks to a script and uses certain special effects and so on. Our politics is the same way.
Clip, 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 clip. At WrestleMania, Donald Trump, I'm gonna do what everybody wanted to do.
Well, you know, Vince, I don't know if you've seen the latest poll. I saw the other night John Travolta. He prefers Trump. I see others prefer Trump. The poll shows 95% of the Hollywood celebrities want your head shaved, and we're going to do it, Vince. We're going to do it.
I don't think we can underestimate the shock people felt when this orange buffoon became president, you know, with his cape, right, and his tights, swaggering around the ring, you know, running up to his opponent when the referee's back was turned, you know, and hitting him in the kidney with his elbow, that kind of thing. They couldn't believe that he was president, right? He never got over the shock of it.
Donald Trump is in a world he is not familiar with. Come out here. Hey, look at this! Donald Trump! Oh, my God! The hostile takeover of Donald Trump!
And I think it does have some kind of psychopolitical dimension to it. Because what it actually ended up doing, I mean, pretty quickly, was making the CIA and the FBI and the bureaucracy in Washington generally suddenly appear heroic, like our champions, you know? They're going to protect us from the bad orange man and his handler in the Kremlin, right? This was combined with this demonization of Putin.
The FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, is investigating the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election.
Do you still believe the president could be a Russian asset?
I think it's possible. I think that's why we started our investigation.
It's very clear that the Russians interfered in the election, and it's still puzzling as to why Mr. Trump does not acknowledge that and embrace it and also push back hard against Mr. Putin. The Russian threat to our democracy and our democratic foundations is real.
This was the classic textbook Soviet and now Russian tradecraft.
FBI doesn't do moles and campaigns, do they?
No, it's a bunch of nonsense. The FBI's mission is to protect the United States. So if they had tips that there might be a Russian infiltration into the United States to meddle with our election, which has been found out, then they should go after that. So using a confidential informant, a trusted source, to go test out those leads, it would be negligent for them not to do that.
So that's a deep, deep state you got.
By deep state, if you mean professionals who are consummate professionals.
My heroes,
who,
the deep state.
Who understand
yes.
what continuity means, who understand what the Constitution is.
Right.
Who don't care about party, who don't care about politics.
Right.
And just do what's right and honor the law and honor the Constitution, then God bless the deep state.
But he's purging.
Thank God for the deep state.
I don't know what the principal protagonist in this drama is going to do, but I surely hope that those adults and those people in the White House and in the cabinet and in the Congress are going to recognize that they need to act before there's a real disaster.
To the truth.
Yes, to the truth.
You know, I mean, the whole thing has actually jerked American liberals back into the position of the John Birch Society in the 50s, or the far right, because all of a sudden Russia is this demonic force that you know is directing all the far right movements in Europe and elsewhere. Also, the demonization of Trump has entailed a ferocious hatred of the American working class.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
You might have some support from this audience, but 95% of them are idiots. Uh-oh.
To me, they look like a very smart group of people.
As you've said, all kinds of extremely acute people who have understood and who have grasped the falseness of narrative after narrative, right, until now, have succumbed to this.
Even after we produce a vaccine. Experts say that it could be months or even years before we come back to anything approaching normal.
About between 750 and 1,000 people a day are dying. When he was presented with that number, he said, it is what it is. Well, it is what it is because you are who you are. That's why it is.
What's happened is we've had this president who would say certain things that have really serious real-world consequences. He would say, for example, that hydroxychloroquine works, right? If you take it early enough, it will help you get over COVID-19. He said this. So all of his followers believe it because he said it, okay? They don't believe it because it's true or they have any way of verifying it. They just believe it because he said it. Alternatively, everybody on the other side of the aisle, all the liberals, think it can't be true because he said it. That's just it. He said it can't be true. Trump lies. I've heard that so many times. It's as if they've been subjected to some kind of, you know, communist brainwashing, right? He said it can't be true. Well, as a matter of fact, he was right. And the suppression of hydroxychloroquine, the proscription on its use by governors, interfering with doctors trying to treat their patients. I mean, this is a crime against humanity.
I happen to be taking it. I happen to be taking it.
Hydroxychloroquine?
I'm taking it. Hydroxychloroquine.
Well, he shouldn't be taking it.
Is there any evidence to suggest that, as with malaria, it might be used as a prophylaxis against COVID-19?
No, the answer is no. And the evidence that you're talking about, John, is anecdotal evidence.
A large new study links hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine to a higher risk of death in coronavirus patients.
This is a study that was led by folks at Harvard and was published in The Lancet just today.
Last week, the executive group of the Solidarity trial decided to implement a temporary pause of the hydroxychloroquine arm of the trial because of concerns raised about the safety of the drug.
The Food and Drug Administration is ending its emergency authorization for the use of hydroxychloroquine to treat COVID-19. President Trump has repeatedly praised hydroxychloroquine as a potential coronavirus treatment.
This is the mother of all studies right now. This was 96,000 patients.
This is not just a government culpability and malfeasance with respect to hydroxychloroquine. This is academic malfeasance. There were two fraudulent papers, one in the New England Journal of Medicine, one in Lancet. They were withdrawn, and the New England Journal of Medicine and Lancet acknowledged that they were fraudulent papers. They were scare papers to scare people on hydroxychloroquine. Since that time, there's been dozens of pile-on scare tactics in academics. This isn't the government. This is people in my field, in academic medicine, who are committing academic fraud. I reviewed a paper. I'm a cardiologist. I reviewed a paper that made it into the medical literature demonstrating that hydroxychloroquine causes a heart attack, that hydroxychloroquine causes a giant scar in the heart. And I can tell you, I'm at Baylor in Dallas. We have the world's most recognized cardiac pathology program in the world. Our senior examiner has held in his heart, in his hands, more human hearts than anybody in the history of mankind. I can tell you firsthand, hydroxychloroquine does not cause giant scars in the heart. So academic medicine is committing a fraud, is committing, I think, a crime against humanity. There must be a motivation behind this that's much bigger than just Democrat versus Republican.
At any rate, after the last election, which was demonstrably stolen, there was a huge and, I think, entirely justified demonstration in Washington. And as a believer in electoral democracy, although I regard our politics as theater now, I think it's important to honor the will of the electorate, even if they don't, you know, entirely understand what they're voting for. I think they were taken in by Trump. That's irrelevant. They had every right to demonstrate, but by over-focusing on this psyop in the Capitol building, the media was able to give the impression that the nation's capital was sort of overrun by brown shirts and Klansmen. If you carefully examine both the videos taken inside the Capitol and the way the event was covered and reported, it was obviously staged to provide footage, you know, for the talking heads to define this ridiculous invasion as an attempted coup.
The peaceful transfer of power, the cornerstone of American democracy, seemed a highly abstract concept today. As Trump supporters clashed with police as they tried and succeeded to storm the Congress, where America's elected leaders had gathered to certify the election victory of Joe Biden.
Our nation, so long the beacon of light and hope for democracy, has come to such a dark moment.
I am in tears today to see this scene. This is not an American scene.
Could you ever imagine seeing that in America?
Did we just witness a coup attempt in the United States of America? Or was this an insurrection?
How would you describe what happened on that day? Was it a coup, an act of domestic terrorism? What was it in your view?
Some local political experts you spoke with today are calling this an attempted coup.
This was, by any dictionary definition, a coup attempt.
any other country this was happening, it would be called a coup. We'd call it that. So that's what it is.
It was very clearly an attempt to carry out a coup to overthrow the elected government.
I mean, this takes my breath away. These people don't know what a coup is. What do you do when you mount a coup? Well, you take over the media, right? You often kill the incumbent, you know? You have troops take over. Okay, did anything like that happen this time? Have these people ever heard of Chile? You know, their 9/11 in 1973, that was a coup.
Canto que ha sido valiente, siempre será canción nueva. Siempre será canción nueva. Siempre será canción nueva.
There have been coups that our CIA has cultivated and paid for and encouraged, and they're usually pretty bloody, and they usually mean an attempt to take over the government. And I don't see any evidence that these people who put their feet up on a few desks and banged on a few doors were trying to take over the government. And I also think that a number of them were agents, as usual. Now, it's obvious that the Capitol Police, and that's a very, very powerful and well-organized protective force, okay? Somehow that day they weren't. Somehow that day, members of that force were ushering people into the Capitol building. It's there for your eyes to see. They took down the barricades and guided people into the Capitol.
Police are squabbling with protesters. Oh, there we go. And they just breached the Capitol.
The police here are willing to work with us and cooperate peacefully, like our First Amendment allows.
Yes, you need a show. Right. You understand?
Yes.
Then show us no attacking, no assault, remain calm.
We're not going to assault. We're going to be heard. Everybody, this must be peaceful.
This has to be peaceful. We have the right to peacefully assemble.
And then the most absurd footage of all was the footage of this lone Capitol policeman standing with his club, trying to hold off this horde of, you know, white supremacists coming up the stairs, right? Now, if you watch this carefully and try to maintain your calm of mind, you'll notice, first of all, that there's a guy standing right on the other side of the landing that he's on, you know, filming him. It's like a movie's being filmed. Then you say to yourself, but wait a minute, the footage I'm watching was also taken on somebody's cell phone, right? It was staged. But the language around it was so hysterical, right? And I've learned this in studying these psyops over the years. It doesn't matter what you're actually looking at. You know, it doesn't matter what you see with your eyes. If the voiceover narration is sufficiently compelling, you will tend to have that color your understanding of what you're seeing, okay? Now, it didn't look like a coup. It looked like a kind of lark or frolic, you know? It looked like, you know, what this looked like, you know, a panty raid on campus. And this marks the moment when conspiracy theory is explicitly equated with domestic terrorism, okay? Now things, as I said, were drifting in this direction from the time that David Cameron and Francois Hollande sort of likened conspiracy theory to extremist movements that threaten people's lives, you know? So we've come a long way from the CIA memo in 1967, which passingly relates to, you know, the fact that what the conspiracy theorists were arguing about the Warren Report referred to material used, you know, deliberately contrived by communist propagandists. Now it's been flipped to make the urgent and kind of hysterical claim, often, that conspiracy theory is a form of domestic terrorism And it's based on this fantasy of a kind of, you know, like this brown shirts out in the streets of the United States, and that Trump's supporters are Nazis, you know. The Nazi threat was used several times over the last, you know, year or so to try to take the gloss off of really huge anti-lockdown demonstrations, fairly big ones in Michigan, you know, which were then tarred with the brush of Nazism by this supposed plot by, you know, bearded neo-Nazis to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. That, to me, is so explicitly phony that I just have to laugh.
Earlier today, Attorney General Dana Nessel was joined by officials from the Department of Justice and the FBI to announce state and federal charges against 13 members of two militia groups who were preparing to kidnap and possibly kill me.
Now a big investigative report on BuzzFeed News has revealed a bunch of new details, and particularly about the role that FBI informants played in the plot and breaking it up.
We always knew, even from the moment the case was announced, that there was at least one informant, in fact, at least two, and that they had sort of been in the plot. The great revelation, you know, of our reporting and also of what's come out in the court documents and in other media, including the Detroit Free Press, which has done a great job on this, is that there were as many as 12 informants, and that those informants played a much larger and, you know, more active role. One of the informants actually rose to become the second in command of the Wolverine Watchmen.
And then when there was a big, gigantic demonstration in Berlin, it was like a million people, and Bobby Kennedy addressed them and got right down to it and said, they're going to call this a Nazi get together.
Back at home in the United States, the newspapers are saying that I came here today to speak to about 5,000 Nazis. And tomorrow, they're going to report that, yes, I was here and that I spoke to maybe 3,000 to 5,000 Nazis. But I look at this crowd and I see the opposite of Nazism. I see people who love democracy, people who want open government, people who want leaders that are not going to lie to them, leaders who will not make up arbitrary rules and regulations to orchestrate obedience of the population. I look at this crowd, I see all the flags of Europe, I see people of every color, I see people from every nation, every religion, all caring about human dignity, about children's health, about political freedom. This is the opposite of Nazism.
Wenn ich in die Menge schaue, sehe ich Flaggen aus aller Herren Länder hier in Europa. Ich sehe Menschen aus allen Nationen, mit allen Hautfarben, von allen Religionen. Ich sehe Menschen, die sich um Menschlichkeit kümmern, die hier sind, wegen der Gesundheit ihrer Kinder und wegen Freiheit und Demokratie.
We were told that a contingent of these Nazis actually stormed the Reichstag, right? I mean, seriously, can we just get a grip here? You know, that's theater, that's theatrics. And the people protesting lockdown are not Nazis.
I will not go down under the ground, 'cause somebody tells me that death's coming around. And I will not carry myself down to die. When I go to my grave, my head will be high. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. There's been rumors of war and wars that have been. The meaning of life has been lost in the wind. Here's some people thinking that the end is close by. Instead of learning to live, they are learning to die. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under. I don't know if I'm smart, but I think I can see. when the moon is pulling the wool over me. And if this war comes and there's death all around, let me die on this land before I die underground. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. There's always been people that have to cause fear. They've been talking about a war now for many long years. I've read all the statements, I've not said a word. But now, Lord God, let my poor voice be heard. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under. If I had rubies and riches and crowns, I'd buy the whole world and I'd change things around. I'd throw all the guns and the tanks in the sea for the old mistakes of a past history. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. Let me drink from the waters where the mountain streams flood. Let the smell of wildflowers flow free through my blood. Let me sleep down in the meadows where the green grassy leaves. Let me walk down the highway with my brother in